Let's just not start off in a negative mood, I tell you.
I know this guy from somewhere.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin.
Morning, Jay. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jay.
Love your show, Jay.
It's really great to listen to you.
And I appreciate what you do on the radio.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Good morning. It is Thanksgiving morning. As you prep for your food, we're going to check in with my sister momentarily. I was going to call her last hour, but I was thinking my time, not her time, which gets confusing. It's 8:03 in the morning, though. Oh, no, it's 8:07 in the morning, actually. My clock is, this is like the technological vortex. But at least I have the internets back. I am not sad. 303-713-7600. And I have Mike Rotolo at the helm helping guide the show where it is going as it is on this Thanksgiving Day. We have a big banquet table out for you. We have a smattering of Thanksgiving turkey. We're talking about, oh, man, weren't those great names, though, for turkeys? Pecan, and what was the other one's name? I can only remember pecan because that's my favorite. Pumpkin and pecan, not my favorite. I know, heretical. I do not like pumpkin pie. Don't tell my sister. She's probably listening. She knows I don't like Brussels sprouts. Although she did manage to make one time cut up with, speaking of pecans and was it Parmesan or Romano, and then roasting it in the oven. And then they aren't so vile. I don't like them. There's something about the bitterness of Brussels sprouts that does not sit well with me. However, you're talking to a woman who's eating cream cheese and olives this morning along with peanut butter toast on olive bread. So obviously I'm an olive maniac. It's 303-713-7600. I'd love to talk to you about, oh, whatever's on your mind this morning, Thanksgiving recipes, India and the terrorist attacks. I am very grateful this morning. I was going to hide it from you, quite frankly, if I was still worried about my nephew, because I wasn't sure I could talk and try to discuss. Maybe I would have talked about it. I don't know. Fortunately for me, he's sitting by the ocean in another country, sipping drinks with a friend and with his buddy, and sitting there enjoying the sunset, I believe it is now. And he's calm, he's relaxed, he's safe, he's out of Mumbai, which is good. They were targeting Americans and Britons. He speaks Spanish fluently, though, and I was just going to say, yell in Spanish and run. You know, it's just like, yell in Spanish and run. 303-713-7600. It's a very scary time. I'm not saying deny your heritage, but when they're out to kill you, hey. And this is about power. This is about hegemony. This is about weakness. This isn't about, these people have a hateful ideology, which is basically, I'm weak, I'm going to hate you and attack you where you're the most vulnerable. Very sad circumstance. And then there are people who have fears of another sort. People like, say, in California, I'm afraid gay marriage. Oh, my God, it's going to turn me into what? A gay married person? What are you, nuts? Are you? It's going to defile the institution of marriage. And we have to have a Thanksgiving argument, don't we? Sure we do. This is it. Ah, it's going to defile marriage. Since when is the human right? Since when there's precious, I'm with Keith Olbermann, there's precious little love in the world. Why in the world would we want to deny its expression to our gay brothers and sisters? Why in the world would we want to do that? Marty in Denver, welcome to our Thanksgiving banquet here on the Jay Marvin Show. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Yes.
¿Cómo estás, nena?
Muy bien hecho. Muy bien, muy bien. Ahora que yo tengo el internet, yo estoy mucho mejor. Y mi sobrino está bien.
Y suena bien también.
Oh, gracias.
Well, let me say...
We just said we were glad my nephew was okay, and I was glad to have the internet. And he said, well, dream well, too. Thank you. Go ahead. I sound good. Sorry, suena.
You sound good.
It's not dreaming. Bien. Suena. I'm sorry. Suena. Excuse me. Oops.
Suena bien.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I want to say to the community here, there, where you are, and all that, and to all of my xenophobic jailers and stuff, Feliz Día de las Gracias.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Buono Día de Abbondanza in Italian.
And a Happy New Year in Italian. Buono Día de, what is it? Abbondanza.
De Abbondanza.
I like that. De Abbondanza. Yeah. The abundance. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I just wanted to say here...
Too bad we can't say it in Mohawk. I'm sorry.
Give me some time. I'll get it there.
I'm sure you will, brother.
Listen, I just wanted to say here, I, you know, in as short times I have. I wanted to bring a little soulful noise and then a little joyful noise and stuff, what you've been talking about this morning, between Mumbai, between Initiative, Proposition 8 and Oof. All. Same kind of people.
Prop 8 for hate.
That's yeah. right. Different kind of approach, different kind of tools, same kind of people. The Zaymen al-Zahiris are just as proud of those people in California. Being part Hispanic myself, I was very, very let down by my Hispanic and my black brothers. I worked very hard for Obama. We all have our own opinions, but I was very saddened. And it's not civil rights, it's human rights.
Yep.
I've done away with civil rights in terms of a phrase that I use. I call it human rights because we're all, after all, we're human. That's the base denominator, so to speak, of what mm-hmm. we all are. The joyful noises is that, as I said on Tuesday night when we were all here celebrating downtown.
Oh, it must have been fabulous. We cried. We laughed. We were fielding calls from the East Coast because they were worried. They were like, are you sure, California? We're like, California's safe. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole planet, was vibrating.
You just felt us all breathe a deep sigh of relief, didn't you?
That's right. That's right. The shadows haven't passed yet, and they're still out there, and we're already hearing things from, our friends on the right, and I say that, facetiously, but how the economy and everything else is, again, the fault of the people that are trying to repair things, trying to mend the fences and everything, so... But I'll leave it at that point. I just wanted to say that on that night, the way I framed it, the way I coined it to every black brother and sister that was in the crowd along with me was that as a student of history, I said, that night when he got over the top mm-hmm. was a payback for a man that we all know very well who for 27 years basically lived in a hole. In his own country that his people had walked on that earth for thousands of years and had to live behind fences. That man was Nelson Mandela. That payback that night, and the history that was made that night, is now the first link in, I hope, an indestructible chain that is going to lead into the future that's going to tether on to freedom, liberty, and human dignity
for everybody
on the planet.
They laugh at liberals, these right-wing crazies, but you know what? The reality is we have been enjoying this brotherhood and sisterhood for a long time. It's like, come in out of the darkness. And I'm not saying, look, 15% of pretty much any group I'm probably not going to like, there's
right.
like, my friend has a, my one of my African-American friends on the east side here says, there's the 15% rule, Aaron, about 15% of every kind of group has got creepy people in it. And I'm like, yep, you're probably right. But the reality is, did you hear Hugh Jackman on NPR yesterday? He was talking about, he has adopted, I'm sorry, my phone, I had to turn on to, never mind. Anyway, it is, Hugh Jackman has a son who's of mixed race, whom they adopted. Mm-hmm. And he was watching Barack Obama, and he said, Daddy, is that my president?
Yeah.
And it's like, he said, I looked at this child, and I realized the incredible hope that this inspired in Sydney, Australia, half across the world, the kids,
right.
Australian American, I think. But it's like amazing, he's our president,
right.
And he's going to make mistakes. Heck, I'm already mad at him for saying girly dog, But,
well,
You're
exactly right. You're exactly right. And it's the youth of the America and the youth of the planet and all who, if we flush out the system, the way we should here, the people, like I say, it's not my world anymore, it's their world, if we flush out the system of all of this, suspicion and disdain, I don't even want to have the 15% rule, Aaron. It's in the DNA. It's in the DNA. We're gonna look at.
I'm gonna mess up.
Exactly.
Gonna mess up.
Here's the last thing I wanted to say. I also stopped using the term racism. This is what I said that night on Tuesday. We were witnessing the last nail in the coffin of American apartheid, because racism is a word, you know, is an ism word, and people sometimes run away from the ism words. Mm-hmm. But apartheid is a very, very powerful word. It's like a hurt that anyone could feel, that you're separated, that you're put behind, you know, chain-link fences and all that in your own country. To me, our minds have been shackled for the last 30 years. Thank you very much, Ronald Reagan and all of his ilk, to the American apartheid idea, way of living. And I think that right now we've gotten the wire snippers out and we're cutting holes in that chain link fence and we're breaking out again. And I certainly want to bring along any good Republicans and any good conservatives, because they have a voice. They're Americans, too. They have a point of view.
And I think Barack Obama, by welcoming them, heck, by keeping Robert Gates in there, look, he's going to have his hands full with the economy. And Robert Gates, even though I have some issues with him, perhaps, but, you know, he's changing, he's repairing the damage, the considerable damage to the Defense Department that Donald Rumsfeld did.
Yes.
And he's working through his own first budget. So let him do that. Let him slim it down. And he's also proven he will fire people if they screw up. So good. And I think having somebody like that for at least the first year is a good idea. I don't think it shows that, all this talk about it shows Democrats are wimpy. No, it doesn't. It shows Democrats are smart.
That's right.
And Democrats are capable. And Democrats are unafraid to share. Democrats are unafraid of sharing power.
It's the room in the tent that we have that Republicans don't seem to get that, you know. They don't get the message. They don't have an idea about that.
No, and they're going to become extinct like the dinosaur if they don't open up the arms of their party to people of color, to people of different sexual preferences. They're going to be totally out to lunch, and they're going to have Sarah Palin and three right wing evangelists, maybe Ted Haggard, and that's about it.
Right.
You know, that'll be it, and they'll just and focus on the family loons and Colorado Springs, and they can all just preach to the choir while they're sitting over in their corners sucking their thumbs.
Aaron, amor y prosperidad.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Let's go. Gracias. Igualmente. Prosperity to all, and to all a good break. Coming right up here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 8:19 in the morning. Love to speak to you about whatever's on your mind this morning. It can be recipes. I want to send out a shout out to the Miller family in Well County, my old stomping grounds, my homeland, who opened up their farms to people. It was one of the most moving stories I heard about all week last week. How about you? 303-713-7600. What are you grateful for right here on The J. Marvin Show? And what sticks in your craw? That's fair game, too. After all, it's Thanksgiving. Wouldn't be fair not to have a few bones to pick, right? Ooh, ow, that hurt. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Jay on AM 760, Progressive Talk. Thanks. I'm grateful for our Seattle listeners who still listen to me when I perform in Denver. Very glad to have you with me here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. It is 8:19. I am grateful that you are here at my Thanksgiving table, metaphorically speaking, my sister Christina. You are a Thanksgiving tradition, as you know. Are you in your socks dancing around your kitchen?
I'm in my socks, not dancing at the moment, reading the paper.
You're still reading the paper, not dancing?
Not yet.
You will be. It is a tradition to cook and dance, correct? I mean, with your tunes always going.
Yeah, we've already got that going, but it's classical this morning and
it's
rather
waking
mellow.
Up slow. Aren't you glad that our nephew is okay and in an undisclosed location nearby?
Extremely.
Oh, my God. I had 3 hours yesterday I don't want back. That was pretty scary. But I'm very glad he's okay, and we have a lot to be grateful for this morning.
We do.
Including, we have a new president, Christina. Have you heard?
Oh, yes. Oh, indeed. And very happy about that. And I think it seems lighter.
Doesn't it?
Yes. And I think that even my Republican friends, and I have a few, are interested and looking forward.
You know, I have some, too. And they're also worried about their own party and the divisions they're in and its lack of ideas. But I'll tell you something. I gained more respect for him, except you know what he told Barbara Walters last night, and you know what the size of my dog. He said, yes. We're not sure we want a lap dog. As a matter of fact, we're not sure we want a girly dog. Whereupon his wife looked at him and said, we're all girls here. You live with women. You live with girls.
Oh, that's like, pretty funny.
Yeah, and so I feel like, you know how Pedro has a nice, deep, throaty bark. I thought I would send his picture and his bark to the Obama change.gov and say, excuse me, some of us are no girly dog lap dogs.
He is dropkick dog size, Aaron. I'm
hey,
sorry.
I don't care if he's dropkick size. You're the one who sends him pretty coats.
Well, it's partially in just total, you know, mocking.
She said, because she's knitting him a coat. You can't mock him. He's a gorgeous dog. Just because you have a big galoot of a dog that, by the way, I let sleep on your bed when I'm babysitting your house. Yeah, Shelby, come here. Get on the bed. I can't help it. Shelby, dogs just like sleeping where I am. I can't help it. I don't know what that says, but probably that I'm a good trooper. My dog is not dropkick. You and our brother both call my dog dropkick. I prefer to say portable and nimble.
Wimpy?
Hey! That dog is no wimp, as you know from his puppy teeth.
He's
no wimp.
He's a pretty nice dog.
He is a pretty nice dog. He's a pretty swell dog. You know what I gave him for Thanksgiving? Sweet potato treats. All natural sweet potato treats.
You'll probably pay for that.
Oh, they're really good. No, he's been fine.
Our transvestite cat has already had two breakfasts.
Your transvestite cat is the craziest cat I've ever seen.
Yes.
And by the way, this dog urinates on my baggage every time I go to visit them, right? Well, he didn't do it last time.
It's a cat.
He likes it. He goes, hate you peeing on your stuff now. Thanks so much, cat. You are so groovy. Mittens, though, it has his own personality. How much does he weigh now? Probably more than Pedro.
Yeah, he's probably 15 pounds.
I like it when
he's a big boy.
He is a big boy. And he doesn't
take... Everybody calls him a girl.
He doesn't. Yes, he is your transvestite cat. I call him a girl, but he is a boy.
Yes.
As Shelby is a girl. How is Shelby, your mixed boxer border collie, doing?
Sitting right next to me and looking out the window wanting to get after the squirrels.
Of course. What a dog thing to do. Now, what are you preparing? I said that you were the one person who could make me eat Brussels sprouts roasted in the oven with pecans and Parmesan.
And bacon.
Oh, I forgot the bacon part.
And butter.
Oh. That's why I like them.
You chop them up. And you parboil them and then chop them finely and then toss them with some butter and a little bit of Parmesan and bacon that you've already fried and cut away the fat of and put them in the oven. It's really good.
And you know what?
And people who don't like Brussels sprouts like that.
I'm raising my hand. I hate Brussels sprouts, and I will eat it.
It's really good.
And it isn't
recognizable as a Brussels sprout.
Not anymore, thank God.
Yes, well.
No, it transubstantiates. Maybe they're transvestite Brussels sprouts.
I don't know that I would go that far. But you could. Anyway, I've already made the cranberry sauce, so that's all done. Mm. And my friend is bringing three pies, two pumpkin and one apple cranberry. So that sounds good. And we're having, the rest is really standard, mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing. I'm going to do a green bean casserole, just this, you know, that standard. Because we have a lot of kids coming, and they kind of expect that.
Are you going to do it with the little weird onions and the little onion crumbly thing, whatever those are?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, but we brined our turkey yesterday, and a friend who I was visiting yesterday, who's got the most beautiful kitchen I've ever seen,
yours is pretty no slouch.
Browning turkey necks for her stock.
Ugh.
No. Good. So I immediately came home and did that because it smelled like heaven, and my word, I'm really happy with that. So that's what I'm going to use as a base.
Well, good. I decided to get a giant chicken breast. I was invited to go to friends out in the wilderness, but a wilderness trip is a little too much when I have to be up at 3 a.m. in the morning. So I'm not going to do that. But, wow, that sounds delicious. And you get to eat Steve-O's mashed potatoes, which are always the grooviest mashed potatoes on the planet.
He's the best.
He is the best potato maker ever.
Yep. And here's other news. Hayden finished his Mustang, 67 Mustang, and they test drove it twice yesterday. It's not quite there. They're tweaking, but it's a beautiful car. He's done it pretty much every little bit by himself.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
17 years old.
Wow, that is so to be proud of. Now, is he going to send me a picture, which he keeps promising?
Yep.
He's got to send me a picture. I want to see it.
It's out of the garage now, so he can actually take pictures.
So there's light.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
And what's Bren up to? Bren and my other nephew and your son.
Well, he's a wild child. He all of his friends are around and about. So they are. They were singing. Greensleeves, you know, who knows, at the top of their lungs, and they found the words online, and I don't know what that was in aid of, and they really can't sing, but it was really hilarious. So
were they drinking beer?
No, they don't drink. No.
Oh,
but
okay.
The other thing that they decided to do this month was
that's hilarious.
No Shave November.
Shave November?
Which is...
Now I really want a picture.
Really not attractive.
I want a picture.
All these boys have these little scraggly little beards, and it's just, well, it makes us laugh all the time. And the other day I saw him from afar, and I said, oh, Brennan, you shaved. And he said, no, Mom, it's blonde. So
wow.
He's got his senior picture and doing all that cap and gown stuff, you know, and
he's graduating.
Yes. So a lot of fun. And basically holding A's and B's with all of the singing and growing of beards and dashing around with all of his friends.
Excellent. Well, and his classic car is...
Well, he's got a Camaro.
How's it doing? Yeah, because he keeps switching. Camaro, okay.
Well, he's owned 8 cars by now, which is just pretty amazing.
He is the most stylish. My favorite was when he had a Rolls Royce and changed and exchanged it for what, a 57 Chevy?
No, he had a 57 Chevy, and he traded that for a
Rolls
Royce.
That for the Rolls, right. Okay, I got it back.
Hated the Rolls Royce. Hated it.
Hated it. The smell. Hated it. Actually, I went in it. He was right. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
No, but anyway, they fixed that up and sold that, and then he went to sort of hillbilly trucks, which has not been my favorite part, but two of those, and...
That's right.
And then,
I haven't gotten to ride in one yet, though.
But still has the Camaro, which is the one that will
is
be
the
one that he sells, yeah.
All
it'll
right.
be fun.
Oh, lovely. And you, how are you doing?
Really well,
cooking.
Thank you. Yep.
It
makes me just happy. I love this holiday.
I do, too. It's my favorite, I think. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but it's cold
favorite.
And gray and just perfect. It's just perfect.
No, it is. It's lovely. The hound and I were out for, I will call him a hound. The hound and I were out for a walk yesterday, and it was crispy cold, and it was gorgeous. It was actually sunny for a change, and it was really, really, really beautiful. It was just a spectacular day, and the lake was really calm and smooth, and the ducks were playing, and there's these weird new little birds with little white and black flaps on their heads. It's like, it's just the best. I love it.
New little birds?
new little birds to the lake. I haven't seen them on the lake near where I live. I've never seen these little birds. I've seen these little weird...
Oh, maybe they're traveling.
I don't know. They're little birds that they call coots, and they're mallards, and they're ducks. But these are small little... The brown ones have little fuzzy wings by their... Where their ears would be if ducks had ears. And they have little fuzzy wings by their ears. And then their metaphorical ears. And then the little black ones, which I assume are the males, have, it's almost a stark white and black fan by their head. And
oh,
I haven't
God.
Been able to find them online. I don't know what kind of birds they are.
Maybe somebody will be able to call you and tell you.
That's why I described them.
Yep. Well,
and don't eat them, because they're cute. Thank you very much for your call, Chris. Thank you very much for letting us barge into your Thanksgiving meal.
No worries. And listen, have a wonderful, happy, wonderful holiday.
Thank you, my friend. You too. I love you.
Bye.
I love you too. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in. That's a report from the house of Christina, my sister, and what's going on in her Thanksgiving Day. Drop in on ours. Come join us. 303-713-7600. What are you grateful for? What are you delighted by? My dog is no dropkick dog, damn it. 303-713-7600. What a terrible describer. And she does send him coats. He's got a white slicker. He's got a trench coat. How many coats have I bought him? I've only bought one that I'm knitting. 303-713-7600. It's 8:35. I'm overdue for my break on the J. Marvin Show. Time for Traffic with Dave Hunter, and we'll be right back on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm filling in on Jay's show. Hey, I just realized I forgot to send an email to Michael back at the studio. I'm doing that now. All right, now, here's the thing. I have another topic to talk to you about. I try to create, on Thanksgiving, I try to create the ambiance, if you will, that we're sitting around our Thanksgiving table, or around the kitchen, cooking in our socks. Now, I personally don't cook in my socks because I would slip and fall down too easily. I cook in flip-flops because I love wearing reefs. I love them. They have high arches. I know they're a little spendy. I don't care. Those Brazilian sandals will be on my feet wherever I am as soon as I hit the ground running. I really do. I love them. And by the way, my dog is so cool. He gets out of bed and he immediately does this yoga pose. It's amazing. He does downward facing dog, my dog. He does. It's astounding. It's as if he read a yoga book. Oh, yeah. Right. Anyway, but teasing, obviously. But you know what? It's really a good, if you have a dog and they do downward facing dog, the first thing they get up in the morning, do it with them. It's a great way to wake up. I've started doing, it's wonderful. It just loosens all your muscle up. And then he has this trick where he stretches out his back legs. Ah, very good for your, you know, hind legs or any other part of your anatomy to stretch. Okay, now, thinking of my nephew, painstakingly and beautifully restoring his 67 Mustang, thinking about my, and they do favor, they tend to favor American, all the my sister's boys, and I like to think of them as my boys too, but they really love their American-made cars, and I have to confess something. I do not have an American-made car. I have a Japanese car, a Honda, that I bought from Ralph Schomp, who I love. And when I need a new car, believe you me, mine's going on 11 years, still under 60,000 miles on it. I do not take my car on a lot of road trips. That's not to say I don't travel. I just normally go by airplane or train. I love trains. As a matter of fact, you can find me riding the rails. I ride the rails like some people go on road trips. So, and cars. It's not that I don't like driving. I do. I love driving. A good road trip is a good road trip. I just don't have much occasion to go on them because trains go to a lot of places I go, and so do planes. But since Amtrak has the stupid idea that you have to have a therapy dog in order to get it aboard a train, and I thought about faking it. I did. Or I thought about putting him through the training and, you know, claiming that I had some sort of illness, that I needed a dog, or I wasn't going to go as far as pretending to be blind or anything. But, you know, really, Amtrak, you need customers. You need a whole new system of rails. You want to get us on your side, get the dog lobby. Get the dog lobby. Have one car dedicated, just the downstairs. Let those of us who want sleeping cars, whatever, just let us take over a car. Let us have it. Let us, dog lovers, you would have so much more business immediately. Because there are those of us maniacs who absolutely now, be it that we're besotted with our hounds, must travel with them. I love my dog. There is no way. Pedro goes pretty much wherever I go. I read about this family paying $250 to ship their dog to a family reunion. Totally understood. Totally get that. I talked to my brother who lives in Argentina, and I said, hey, when I come down for a visit, I may bring my dog. And, you know, my sister-in-law, who has not seen my dog as yet, didn't realize that the dog could fit under a seat, and I wouldn't, like, throw him in the cargo bay, because I wouldn't do that unless I were moving. But, you know, it's just, I don't like going to be without my dog. I like traveling with my dog. He is my pal. And besides, with him, he forces me to exercise because my idea of running is, oh, is someone chasing me? Good, then I'll run. But he bounds out of the house and has such a great time that it's inspiring. So you walk, you run, you skip, you dance. You do a lot more things when you have a dog. So if you don't have a dog, go get one. And if you need a hypoallergenic dog like I do, I highly recommend Silky Terriers. Mine is Swell, despite my sister's penchant for calling it a dropkick dog, which is just about right up there with girly dog. So today I'm mad at both Obama and my sister. It sounds like Thanksgiving to me. So the other thing I wanted to talk about with you this holiday season, fill-in, is this. I've been thinking about how hypocritical I am, and it figures back to that car I just mentioned. You know, Ed Schultz and other hosts, and I'm very pro-union, too, and I'm very much, I don't like the idiot car dealer, big three going, the car owners, the executives going to, hi, we're in Washington, we came in our plane. I mean, I know that they have an office aboard the plane. I understand that they have fax machines and internets and all kinds of, I love to say internets, plural, just because it sounds funny to me. But, you know, I do know it's internet singular. But anyway, I just really feel like they had a tin ear in terms of the politics of it. They really didn't hear themselves think. So they should have shown up. You know what they should have done? They should have taken a road trip and listened to drivers, or better yet, take a bus. Take a bus and listen to everybody whine at you on your way over. Or better yet, hire a bus and get people off the streets of Detroit and pick people up in downtown everywhere on your way to Washington and listen to the voice of the people. Because if you had me on your bus, here's what I tell you, big three, I have not bought one of your cars. My sister gave me one of your cars once, and it was a pretty fine car. I called it my living room car. I loved the thing. It was a Chrysler New Yorker. It was a fabulous car. I used to take it with my boyfriends to drive-ins. But I think it is... I've never willingly bought one. Why? A, I like stick shifts, and B, in the 70s when I first started buying cars, gasoline was more expensive. There was a terrible thing. And you know what? I decided if I was going to spend my hard-earned money, memories of gas lines, being in them with my father and my mother and going, ah, I went, okay, I'm going to buy a Honda. And also, I love Ralph Schamp. I always have. I go there because they're nice. They don't argue. They're very friendly. And I don't know whether they're sponsors, but I don't care. They're really nice people, and I like them. So I went there, and I bought a car, and I've been very happy with it. It's lasted almost 11 years now. It's only needed one battery in that entire time. Why would I switch? But I felt mildly guilty watching the big three go through it's their own fault. They did not innovate. They built big gas-hogging SUVs, nice trucks maybe. I just haven't happened to need a truck yet. But when I do, you know, I might consider it. In other words, I've now become willing because of your crisis to go test drive them. I'm not saying I'll pop the next time because if you don't start making more SUV hybrid cars and more ecology efficient cars, forget about it. 303-713-7600, because I'm not going to restore a 67 Mustang. Highly unlikely. Gene in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hello, this is Gene. Hello, Karen.
Yes.
Yes, I'll listen to your show this morning. I have enjoyed it immensely, but I especially was concerned about some of the issues you talked about earlier before I got out of my car in regards to gays and the Obama election.
Uh-huh.
I really admire the way in which Obama addressed the issue of people, you know, gays and straight and things like that. And I think that we as Americans could really be proud of the fact that we were able to elect him, but look at the idea of how we treat people who are different. You know, the gays, the blacks, the Indians, the poor whites, and immigrants to America, how we treat them, you know.
I think it's terrible.
Yes, it's terrible. You look at the way in which we treat the Latinos, people from South America, both from Africa, our American Indian, we got so many Indians that we just really hurt them throughout the school, same as we do the blacks. And now we began to hurt the gays. But on the gays issue, it's like, why do Christians, who are supposed to be Christians, don't like gays?
Not all Christians don't like gays, one. But two, I agree. I think the people who poured money into California, and apparently illegally, because now it's going to be investigated too, the Mormon Church in specific is going to be investigated for having not reported all the support that they were putting to Prop 8. I don't know what you heard. I don't like Proposition 8. I think it's bigoted and wrong. I think gays should be able to adopt children. I think gays should be able to marry. I think whatever they call it. If you need to call it a civil union just because you can't bear to say the word, okay, whatever. But I don't mind a bit. And I also don't mind if they want to solemnize their vows in a religious institution if that religious institution supports that. I don't think we can support, I don't think we can force religious institutions to do what they don't want to do, but certainly civilly we can create a mechanism for gay people to be married. Absolutely.
But I think religion, as far as Christianity is concerned, creates a problem for Christianity, because if we look at the murders, the adulterers, the whoremongers, they come to church and we don't say anything about them. We let them come, you know.
And half the whoremongers are sitting in the front row, in my experience.
Yes, they said the liars, they're there. What we try to do, we don't push them out. So why do we want to push the gays out? Why can't we respect them as we do the whoremongers and the adulterers? Because they, well, the Bible concerns, you know, hey, God speaks, we speak against that, we speak against all those things. But let us, as a Christian, to me, we should really respect and love people regardless of who they are and what they are doing.
Well, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a tenet of my particular branch of faith, Judaism, and it's one of yours. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. So I agree with you, and I'm glad you're urging us to tolerance. And I hope you didn't hear me be intolerant, because I believe in freedom for all. I really do.
Yes. No, I don't think you're intolerant.
I think good.
We should be. We all should respect each other, and you know, and love on each other, and you know, and just try to help each other and give each other a hand at the same time. When we do that, we can grow ourselves because we become bigger, you know.
Yes, I agree. So now I have to work on learning to love right-wing Republicans. Thank you very much. And those folks in Focus in the Family. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. See, that would be my tolerance. I'd want to throw mashed potatoes at Dobson's head, more likely. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show. Did you know that Ted Haggard is back? He's even preaching again. I don't think his congregation in Colorado Springs is too happy about that either. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Jay Marvin Show on this Thanksgiving Day. Good morning. A group calling itself Deccan Mujahideen has claimed responsibility for the attacks in India. The analysts do not know who they are affiliated with. India ranks among the country where terrorism is most common, lots of soft targets are attacked. I think what I was conflating earlier in the show today is the idea of soft targets, I think, scares the heck out of all of us, you know, and the idea... Soft targets haven't been attacked as much in this country, thank goodness. And maybe that's what I was thinking, is like, ugh. You know, because I tell you, so the world's getting smaller and smaller. And you know, I think when we see these things, I personally had a stake in it because I had a nephew who lives close to that neighborhood where the stuff was going on. And it's like, ah, you know, you just your shoulders drop, you breathe a sigh of relief and glad he's on his Thanksgiving vacation at the moment. But, you know, it is good, too, on Thanksgiving to think that, you know, the world is still a very dangerous place. We know from our economic... I mean, I looked at my 401k hard yesterday. I finally decided, okay, I've got to be brave. It's close to the end of the year. I've got to see where I... And I went, ah! It was bad. And a stock that I thought I was going to have, you know, sort of in my back pocket if things get a little leaner and meaner. And see, because right now I have to dip into my savings occasionally, which I hate. And, and thank God I have them. There was a time in my life where I didn't used to have them. But I was looking at this and I went, wah! I looked at the stock that I had in one of those stocks that you have, if you're lucky enough to have stocks, I suppose, or not lucky enough to have them, where you think, okay, I'll keep this one sort of in the background to think of maybe one day I'll sell. It has dropped considerably. So it's like, okay. So, you know, I'm already applying for work everywhere. I know how to apply for work. So, you know, it's just one of those things. You have to think about things, in a way of, okay, what am I grateful for today? family, friends, my family's safety, even in harm's way. I'm really grateful to my country for helping me elect Barack Obama. I'm really grateful for a people as diverse as we are to finally come together. Finally, those of us who've been, we're not just on the East Coast and the West Coast. We're everywhere. We've been in Colorado for some time. I knew that. I knew that as a child in Nunn, Colorado. I knew the farmers I grew up with weren't all right-wing reactionaries. I knew that when I used to sit around my father's grain elevator and listen to them yak. I knew that they care, you know, and I was just listening to Mario's promo earlier about, you know, the bailout. I don't like it either. But on the other hand, do we really want to let the American car companies just fold, just go away? Are we going to become an entire nation of service people? Because that's what we're looking at. I mean, do you want that? I personally want the mechanism in case we ever, God forbid, have another situation like World War II. And maybe this shows my parent and my grandparents' thinking. But, you know, do we need a mechanism where we can make hardware really fast? Probably. I mean, yes, we have Toyota plants. Yes, we have Honda plants. And most of them are in the South. Did you notice all those southern states going, oh, let them go. Let them die. Kill them. You know, what would I rather be putting money in? Green energy. What would I rather be putting money in? An entire new system of tracks if Amtrak will allow me to take Pedro on their rail system. You know, what would I rather have? I'd rather have light rail everywhere. I'd rather have cleaner, meaner, leaner energy. I like to drive, but I don't need to get everywhere. So it's 303-713-7600. But, you know, I realized when I was listening to all this stuff, and I was listening to Ed Schultz, because Ed Schultz has been a staunch defender of give Big Auto money now. And I listened to him, and I go, oh, I don't know about what, give them everything. Ugh, they came up with a terrible plan. Ooh, they were stupid and flew on a corporate jet. What's wrong with them? And then I thought, you know, I haven't test driven an American car in a long time. I drive them upon occasion when I'm visiting, you know, like I'll drive my brother-in-law's trucks. And if, you know, when I'm next visiting the Boyos, I'll drive, you know, the 60s. I hope to get, I get to drive the 67 Mustang. Hey, but, you know, I want to like them. I do. I just don't. I like cars that get great gas mileage and have an energy future. And right now, I'm not trading mine in because mine's still not broken. It's doing fine. So I guess, though, I am a bit of a hypocrite. What do you think? Would you buy an American car these days? 303-713-7600. And what do they need to do to get in your good graces? And bravo to the Miller family, which owns 600 acres of farmland outside of Platteville near my own stomping grounds, my old stomping grounds, who held a free food day and gave away tens of thousands of pounds of produce. Good for you. Bless you. You're the true meaning and the embodiment of Thanksgiving. It's 859. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Back in a flash.